You guys have been so good. Awesome. You enjoying this? How good's church, right? Churches are great when we meet together. You know, the story that Elijah told there is just a really good indication of what the thread of the Bible really is. If you look at the Bible, you look at the entire thread. Basically, God made himself a father and wants you in his family. That is it. He created Adam and Eve and their generations to be part of his family. That's what he wanted. They blew it. So he sent Noah eventually and started again with another family called Noah and said, I want all the peoples of the earth to be my family. We get to the Tower of Babel, as Elijah said, and they blew it again. And the Bible actually says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 8, because of the Tower of Babel, he divorced himself from the people and divided them amongst the nations. And then he follows up with, but Israel is his portion. That was Genesis 11. In Genesis 12, he begins with what Elijah just quoted, Abraham. And he started again. Why? He just wants a family. That's all God wants. So you got a situation when Abraham comes, all these nations, 17 nations at that point, and he had divorced himself. He was no longer their God. In fact, he says he appointed them to the sons of God, which is a whole different rabbit trail we'll go down one day. But the point was he was separated from the nations and he started again with Israel. And as we know, you look at the thread of the Bible, Jesus comes from Israel, the tribe of Judah. And that was just the beginning of his plan to form this family because right now, because of what Christ did on the cross, he wants the nations back. He wants them back. Why? Because he loves them. He loves every human being, all of them, and he wants them in his family. That's why he brought forgiveness through the cross. For even those who spit at his face and ignore him and despise him and are against him, he still wants them won back. That's our gracious God. Like Elijah said, when Adam was made, everything was good except for it's not good for man to be alone. We read that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then God said, it's not good for that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. That little phrase, fit for him, of course, Eve comes along, the female. The little fit for him was really a word, it's a Hebrew word which has a lot of meaning in it. It's not just fit for him. Helper, aid, rescuer, but really a strong resistance. And I've got to tell you, in my marriage every now and then, I've witnessed that my wife is very much a strong resistance. But what it was this equality that came in a marriage. Someone who is like him, but can bring this beautiful strength and stability into his life. Anyone into golfing? You like to play golf? I like playing golf. It's much easier to putt uphill, isn't it? That is downhill. Downhill, you have little control over the ball. But putting uphill, you actually have a lot more control over the ball. Why? Because there's resistance. It's a lot easier and a lot better. Your putt is much stronger when you putt uphill. That's the same. When he brought a family together, a marriage between a man and a woman, it was this uniqueness that women and men are different. Have you noticed that? They are different. Why? Because we make each other stronger. That's the plan. There's a beautiful resistance in that. And God's plan was always to develop everything through family. Family is so important to him. God wants families. He's designed it. It's his vehicle for love and protection. It's his vehicle to make sure children are safe and that they grow into healthy adults. That was his vehicle, family. I look around the world today and it's like society doesn't value family. It doesn't value children. It doesn't value marriage. And I think that's got to stop. If you want to be truthfully about it, have the research. It's actually Marxism. Karl Marx introduced this back in the 19th century, I think it was. And basically, it's to bring down the nuclear family. I have no idea what experiences, how broken he must have been. But I see it today that people are, the society is really not protecting the family. And something's got to change because it's God's plan. God loves family. Even imperfect ones, which all of us are a part of. He wants family. So last week we showed our first part, the first leg of our vision, if you like, Strong One, and we talked about how we believe in every person being strong through discipleship. And we talked last week, if you want to look at that, it'll be online very shortly. If for you to be looking at if you want to look at it again. But this week, it's all about strong family, because I want our church to be one that focuses on strong family. Every second week of the month, we're having a family service similar to this. Yes, and I want kids to be fully involved, but parents, I don't want you to be spectators. I want you to be participators as well. Yeah. But I'm not a parent, I'm an adult. You too, we want you to be all part of it as well. Because I think we are all stronger when the family are together. All different ages, all different generations, all different shapes and sizes, all different backgrounds. When we come together, we are better because of that resistance. Is that true? You see, strong family is about making your family strong. My heart is that every family that calls Strong Nation Church their church, that you are one of the members of our church, I want to do all I can to help your family be strong, because life is good when family's strong. You do that through marriage. The most important part of a family is the marriage. When a man and a woman come together and love each other, the best thing I can do for my kids is love their mother. And it brings stability. The family is a place for children to grow up in safely. You know, we have a world that doesn't seem to value marriage as much. It's almost as if it's like the car. When you wear it out, you get rid of it. Or your shoes or something. No. Marriage is probably the greatest institution God ever created. And we want to strengthen the marriages. See, God has a plan for your marriage. Oh, but Rick, if you're in my marriage, yeah, you go through difficult times, because marriage is hard work. Marriage is hard work, but it's the greatest work you'll ever do. What? You wouldn't want, if it was easy, it wouldn't have as much power in it. Of course it's hard, but boy, it's good. You see, marriage is about doing hard things. Because if the marriage doesn't do hard things, the children are asked to do hard things. And they're not called to do hard things. Fight for your marriage. I want to be able to challenge husbands and challenge wives. Why? Because the generations matter. Your marriage matters. Your family matters. And we're going to be speaking much more about marriage. We're going to be talking about parenting over this year. God wants, God's way of parenting is very different to the world, the way the world talks. Let me tell you, the world talks a lot of garbage about parenting. In fact, there's this whole thing about discouraging people to have children. You've got to be kidding. Do you understand children are the secret to a nation prospering? Children, that's why the government are very interested in how many children we have. Because they understand that a population growth is very important. But we haven't had it for a long time because there's an increasing amount of people who are choosing not to have children. I think that's weird. All throughout the world. And everyone's realizing there's a crisis on our hands right now, especially a nation like China. They realize that in about 10 years' time, they're in depth, big crisis, because they will not have enough population to handle any of their infrastructure. They know that. Australia's the same. You understand why there's 400,000 immigrants coming into the nation last year? That's why. It's because population growth is a nation's prosperity. And our children, the future of Australia, the future of the nations is actually in our children. Why wouldn't you want to have more of them? Oh, but Rick, you know, it's financially hard. I can't afford one, but I had five. Let me tell you, children are the blessing of the Lord. And we want to help you raise children right. We want to help you raise them the way God wants you to do. Parenting is the greatest honor any individual can have. It really is. My children are incredible to us, and technically, I don't have children anymore. I have grandchildren, my youngest being 19. But the honour to parent is such a huge role. You know, the Bible actually tells us to train them up in the way they should go. You know, in Deuteronomy, we read a great instruction for parents. Now, if you've got little children, listen to this. Hear, O Israel, I want to set you up as a strong nation, right? I want to set you up as someone really, really important. The Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them to your children. Impress them on your children, right? Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands in what you do. Tie them as symbols on your forehead and bind them on your foreheads in what you think, your mindset. Write them on the door frames of your house and your gates. Let your house spread it. As for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. We honor him. Why? Because your children need to carry it through the generations. Yeah. Yeah. It is so important. It's fascinating. It's the fourth commandment, fifth commandment. I always get it wrong. It's the fifth commandment, I think. You should honor and respect your parents so that the days on this earth will be long. Fascinating. We all think, okay, kids, well, you better obey me. No, no, the commandment's not really for the children. It's actually for the parents. Children would have heard this, but it's really for the parents to instill something in them. Why? So that your days on this earth may be long. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to his family, the greater family. So that you exist through the generations. So that you will continue, even after your own lifespan, what I've taught you and what I've put into your family will continue to exist. That's why. Teach your children to obey and honor you. That's what it's about. It's not about control at all. It's about God continuing through the generations exactly what he wants through family. Not through media, not through Facebook, but through the families. I want to see broken families restored. That's what we're about. Strong Nation is all about seeing broken families restored. Maybe your children aren't walking with the Lord before. I've got enough faith to believe they're all going to come home. They're all going to come home. Holy Spirit, he's the hound dog of heaven. And he's sniffing them out and he knows where they are and he loves them. And if you look at what Jesus said about, you know, leaving the sheep, the 99 to find the one, he's more interested in them than he is of you. And I believe as a church, I believe with faith that we're going to see many come home. That's what it's about, because we're all about building strong families. You see, I believe the family unit could be the answer for every social need in the world. A strong family. A strong family, every social need gets met. A strong family is a haven for every person. That's why it's important to us at Strong Nation Church. If we can build strong ones, oh, we'll start getting strong families. If we can build really strong families, oh my goodness, it's limitless. That is what it's about. But strong family is much more than that. When we talk about strong family in our vision, it talks about forming a strong church community. Listen to me. Church shouldn't be like a family. Church should be family. I'm very resistant to the corporate model of church because I've seen too many people hurt from it and I've not seen correct fruit from it. But when church actually becomes a family, we actually begin to see great things happen. People develop, ministry rise, people be reached, and people be healed, because a good family, a strong family, is the answer to every social need. It might not be perfect. I'm yet to find a perfect church. In fact, some believe theologically Jesus is waiting for the perfect church. That's why he hasn't come back yet. I don't know whether we'll ever be perfect, but we can be family. Families can be messy. Have you noticed that? My family can be messy. Has been several times. But it doesn't matter. Family, stay together. Family work through it. Why? Because it's good for everyone. We actually have a thing that we've developed. Last week I talked about the huddle. Huddle is where you come and meet with people to be discipled. They're temporary. They should only last, I think, up to 2 years maybe. But by then you've discipled and you're out maybe running your own, who knows? Your own huddles, discipling other people. But we also have a thing called oikos. Oikos, Greek word for household. It's more than just a nuclear family. Oikos is actually extended family. It actually includes those who work with you, your neighbours. That's an oikos. It's a, doesn't matter, our hearts are connected sort of family. You might look different to me. You might even speak a different language. It doesn't matter. We're still connected. We're brothers and sisters. Do you know, it's only the Western world that struggles with this. Everywhere else in the world gets this. I think in our church we should understand the importance of community family as a church. Amen. Our oikos are usually headed up by spiritual parents. People who are mature as Christians. They're disciples of Christ. They walk that journey. They've been tested on it by God and they still keep going. They don't just fall over. They're wise and they're able to speak into people's lives and they help gather people. And we have structured, if you like, structured family. That's an oxymoron. We actually have groups of people who meet. I understand there's one meeting today for family lunch over at the Claxton's house. That's what oikos do. Huddles might be temporary, but oikos isn't. Oikos is all the time. Oikos is not just a family meal. Family meal is just what an oikos does. Oikos is 24/7, 366 this year. They exist together. When you're in hospital, the oikos says, okay, are we looking after the family? They're the ones who visit. They're the ones who make sure there's meals delivered. They're the ones who make sure that if you need a hand, they're the ones. If you're moving house, oikos turns up to help you. That's how we operate in the church. When you get a church this size, it's very hard to be family. But when you develop oikos within it, you really can do family well. But here's the thing. It's easy to have kids. It really is. Well, my wife wasn't hard. It was a bit hard for a couple of moments when she had to push them out. That was a bit hard, apparently. She broke my finger. She grabbed my finger. Big mistake. Don't put your hands anywhere near her. She broke it. It hurt a lot. I'm being facetious. I'm amazed at women. I really am. Thank God I'm a man. Having kids is not hard. Forming family is really hard. It is hard work and it requires work. You can't just say, hey, look, we've got kids now, let's have a family. No, it's not like that. Family, building family means it's iron sharpening iron. And staying together after the sharpening. That's family. Family is, you know, what we mightn't agree, but my love supersedes that. We just love each other. You love their quirks. Yeah, they might even be annoying sometimes, but it doesn't matter because your love just goes over the top of that. You know? Same in church family. It requires work. It requires you to turn up. Monday nights is our family dinner night. And we're celebrating Beth's birthday tomorrow. She's requested my bolognese. It's legendary. Trust me. It has secret ingredients. And tomorrow I add another secret ingredient and I forget what the last one was. But I don't have to ring up and say, hey, are you coming? Come on, why don't you come? I don't have to do that to my family. In fact, my fridge is full today. Tomorrow it'll be empty because family showed up. It's like locusts coming through. Gone. Can't keep them away. But I love it. Our grandchildren, got seven grandchildren now, and oh, that's their domain, mate. They just love it. They all come together, and boy, are they loud. And they're getting louder. If you find a key to making little children quieter, could you just let me know? Mind you, I think I would miss the noise. I think I would miss the noise because that's family. It might not be pleasant to my ears, but I love it. It's something that I cherish. Why? Because the generations are important to me. They really are. Church family. It shouldn't be a case of, oh, come on, why don't you come to family dinner with us? No. Because we're family. It requires work if you want to belong. I believe Strong Nations should be a church where everyone has a place to belong. And I'm talking, you know, part of the furniture belong. Yes, no. Everything you get to know is through the oikos because those people care for you enough and you care for them enough to make sure everything's okay and everyone knows what's happening. That's how we're operating. We're not acting like a family. We're acting as family. That's what it's about. If you're not part of an oikos, I'm sorry. It's going to be really difficult for you to feel like you belong. Now, you might be okay with that. Maybe you're an ultra introvert. Well, so am I, but maybe that's okay. Well, God bless you. Always welcome. Always welcome. But if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I've got to find my people. I've got to, you know, there's plenty of them. Just go and find an oikos leader. They're around here. Spiritual parents, we call them. And they would love to invite you in. I was sharing with Carl. Yesterday painted the walls. Hey, next week we'll be opening up the foyer a bit bigger. It's going to be huge. But I was just talking and I was talking about how we run a huddle. And our huddle's just really cool. And it started off just a group of people sitting in our living room learning a bit of alpha. And but Naomi's away at the moment, and they ring me up and say, "Hey, we're going to the movies. Come on, you're coming." Didn't ask. And we just had a coffee on Tuesday night after The Chosen season 4. Oh my goodness. And I've got to tell you, it had the texture of family. It was beautiful. Justin and Lisa were there. Just this beautiful. It's actually turning into oikos. This huddle, which is all about discipleship, saying, you know what? We're going to morph. We're going to evolve. Ooh, that's a word preachers never use. We're going to evolve into a family. And they're starting to do it. I think it's like a tide. I couldn't even stop it if I tried. But that's the way God works, because he loves family. Yeah? But you know what? It's hard work. It's difficult. It would have been easy for me to stay at home on Tuesday night. It was a busy day. But it's hard work to be there. I'm sure it was hard for them because they had busy lives. But they take time out for family. That's what you do. Another thing about family, church families, is we're family on mission. You've got to have a mission. You've got to have a reason for existing together. You don't just get together because it's cool. It's nice, it's sweet, but you've got to understand, I'll promise you, if you are a family with a mission, you join together with an objective to achieve together, you'll find bonds in that family tying you together so strong that you'll never want to leave it. You'll never want to leave it. My biological family, we have a mission. We serve God. We just serve God. And it's funny, I'm sitting around my table and I've got all the grandkids screaming and my parents sitting there not knowing, you know, they're thinking, oh my goodness, these kids are loud. But it's all right, Dad sort of just turns his machine off and he's fine. But I hear these conversations going across the table, all these theological conversations about the church and about God and what God's plans are and da-da-da. And I'm pinching myself thinking, is this a dream? Then I realise, no, it's the mission we set. We set this mission and our family have just come on mission. When you form a mission together as family, you cannot break it up. It's powerful, powerful. You know, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. They fall away. They stop coming to dinner. Another version says they are discouraged. People are discouraged or they even perish. They perish in silence. But when you've got a vision, a prophetic vision, a mission, what God's asked of you to do, and then you just see, wow, powerful. So strong family is your unique family. Absolutely. We're going to be helping you with that, but also the church family. But there's another aspect to strong family, and that is the generations. I have this overwhelming burden in my heart to set up the generations. We've got to do it. We've got to make sure that these young ones are championed and lifted up, given every opportunity. Oh yeah, but I wasn't given that opportunity. Maybe, nor really was I in one way. Most of us weren't, but doesn't mean they don't. What could they do if they stand on our shoulders? What could they do in the church beyond my life if the Lord doesn't come back in the home? They could do amazing, amazing things. Think about Psalm 71. This is my favorite psalm. King David, I love this. I love what he says in his heart. King David, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. What? Why? Until I declare your strength, who? To who? To this generation, your power to everyone who will come. King David understood something about his life. It was actually for him to make sure the next generation experienced God's power, God's authority, every opportunity for God to use their life for his glory. I am passionate about seeing all, that's why we have a strong nation service, because I want our children to love being in church with you. I want our children to experience coming together and understanding how to learn the word of God. Parents, listen to me. We had a memory verse. What a great opportunity for you to actually help them learn that all week. And we do that every month. We give you a whole month. And they'll get rewarded for learning it. Remember Sunday school? Well, we're all in Sunday school every second week. It's powerful, trust me. It's much more than just having a trendy service. It's been fun. It's been wonderful. I love our youth. I love our youth. Have you noticed you don't stay youth for long? Unless you're talking mindset. And I think we should always remain youth in our mindsets. You know, the old head, or young head, old shoulders? We should keep that in place. Because when we're around the young ones, we are the wiser head with the young shoulders all around us. You know, I was a youth pastor for 10 years and loved it. It was great. I was the accidental youth pastor. I was asked to do it and I just went and did it. The amount of times I counseled young boys, and it all came down to Dad didn't come to the game. Dad just wasn't there for the game. Church, I'm going to ask you this again. On Friday nights, we have a service. We don't have a youth group. Do you understand that? I would argue that youth groups are unhealthy. I could even argue that they're horrible things, but I pastored one for years. Because what's missing is the grey hair. Yeah. Yeah. We have a Friday night service at 7 o'clock. Oh God, you're the greatest. That's their slow song. But it's okay, I'm Pentecostal, I can interpret it. It's a service built for young people. And they love it and it's growing. We're seeing young people come to Jesus and it's just wonderful. There's no manipulation, there's no pressure on them. They're just coming to Jesus, it's just wonderful. But you're not there. You're not at the game. A lot of these young men, they don't have a dad speaking in their life. Who's going to do it? A 20-year-old? Who's working it out themselves? Come on. Come on. Sorry, I'm passionate about this. I'm not asking you to come every week, but can you give us some assent? Come and be part of this incredible generation. All you have to do is just go, you're awesome. And that could change a young man's life forever. Because a great, an older man who has a bit of a beard said, you're awesome. Because maybe he's never ever been spoken to like that by a man before. That's what's important. It's all about the generations. Strong family. Oh, but Pastor Rick, I'm tired. Yep, so am I. We don't have a Sunday night service. I try not to do anything on Saturdays. If we call something on a Saturday, it's very rare, except for a painting bee. But I'm going to ask you, would you come? 7 o'clock. It's loud. It's dark. They're crazy. I just want some of that crazy. Because I will declare his wondrous works to this generation. Do not forsake me, God, until I've done that. Come along and meet with them. Get to know their names. And I promise you, you will be part of a generation that will see them go on to, I believe, change the world. At least their worlds. We're seeing a great thing happen in Windsor High School right now. You want to be part of it? Come on Friday nights. Check it out. Let the future generations see you participating. Because it gives them hope. Biology says they're all going to probably get to your age. It gives them hope that it can be done well. That's what strong family is about. My second favorite psalm ever. Psalm 127, verse 1 to 5. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Yeah. Oh, that's powerful. If we do the generations well, think about you and your nuclear family right now, young families. If you do this well, speak with the enemies in their gates, no fear. You don't fear the future. You don't fear what the enemy has. You can go right up to the gates. It doesn't matter. In fact, their gates won't prevail against you. That's what's promising. If we do it as a church, build a strong family of generations, we have nothing to fear. We can go stand in the gates of the darkest enemy and say, nah, in your face, because of the generations. That's the promise. The word we've spoken over this year is a church the world needs, the church Jesus wants. I believe he wants strong families. The world, what does it need? It needs strong families because there is a spirit of the world out there trying to break families up, and they're having success. They are ripping them apart, but not a strong nation. No, 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 no. We're doing the opposite. That's how we change the world. And I'm going to ask you, would you really adopt this whole thing about strong family and be part of it? Would you allow it to actually get within your spirit? And maybe you might say, well, I've got a lot of work to do in my family. Yep, you're in the right church. Oh, but, you know, I don't know what to do. That's okay, you're in the right church. We're actually beginning to work on a program called Building Strong Families. So we can help you get started in it. You young people who have not got children yet, wow, you got a blank canvas. Just do it God's way. And your church will help you do this. Yeah. We've got some amazing people who have made lots of mistakes and come back from them. We want to help you. That's what we do. Strong one, strong family. Next week we're going to be talking about strong church and strong nation. Don't miss next week. It's exciting. But I thought it'd be really, really cool to finish up. I'm going to pray with you, but I think we need to, oh God, you're the greatest. Da, 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 da. And I just make my own words up after that. But I enjoy it. Can we do that? Yeah. Just letting you know, coffee and tea will be down in our foyer. We have a foyer. And so please go down there. And for the Eagle's Nest, we have some lounges in the Eagle's Nest. So please feel free. Let's all stand and let me pray. Father, I want to thank you for strong family. That you made yourself a father, not a hippopotamus, not a giraffe, but a father. And I want to thank you, Lord God, you want us in your family. And Lord, together we want to get the nations back with you. And we'll do it as a family. We love you and give you glory. Put blessing on every family here in Jesus' name. Amen.